signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics. Howdy there, patriots and well-behaved vassals. Welcome to your weekly dose of Red Pill Politics. 100% American-made, not FDA-approved, which can only mean one thing. It probably won't kill you, and you just might learn something. Happy October 15th to everybody. It is Sunday, October 15th, the midway point of the month. And, the world's on fire. The world is on fire. And it's only getting worse. And we're going to talk about a few of those things this morning. Of course, the ongoing drama of the Middle East with what's going on between what's viewed as just Palestine and Israel. But I assure you, it is going to be much, much more than that. All right, the whole Middle East is going to be in an uproar if it isn't already. All right, this is nothing new. This isn't a flare-up. This is a lot of what's going on over there has been in the making for many years. I refuse to believe that Israel did not know that this attack was coming. All right, we've got a few things to talk about. We're going to be taking call-ins, too, this morning. And what else are we going to talk about? The election, 2024. Is there even going to be an election? The more I talk to people, it isn't a discussion always now that's dominated by, you know, this candidate or that, but whether or not we're even going to have one, right? When you walk around now and you ask, hey, who do you think is going to win the election? Who's going to be the party nominee for this party or that? And, you know, you're probably going to start bumping into people and say, I don't even think there's going to be one. All right, we're going to talk about that. See what you think. Is there actually going to be an election? We're talking about Trump. We're talking about Biden and who they might prop up because he's not looking good. Complete embarrassment. And it's what's leading to the world being on fire, especially for America, is we have enemies. We've got enemies out there that are just waiting for a vulnerability to take advantage. And as the leaders, as the people of the world look in, they have access to the same exact sound bites and videos that we do, and they're laughing at us. All right, and you know, we're laughing too. If we're laughing, if we didn't, we'd cry. You got someone who really just needs 24-hour care. He needs a personal care aide to wipe his bottom and make sure that he doesn't wander away. All right, that's the puppet that's put up there that we're supposed to believe is leading this country, but you and I know better. You and I know better. Who is in the background? Who's really running the show? And it's a deep state. And we're going to clear up what is and what isn't the deep state. We're going to talk more about that. A lot of people still think the deep state is just that politician that you can't get out of office with a crowbar. And they're wrong. I mean, it's a tiny one of the tentacles, maybe. You know, it's a symptom. But that's not what the deep state is. Right? That's that part of government or governmental, things that are government-like. You can't elect out. There's not even elections for the biggest party or deep state out there. We're going to talk more about that and continue defining them, what they are and what they are not. And prepping, right? This is something that's on my mind all the time. know, again, I was brought up in a family of my grandparents. We'd sit at the dinner table, and I heard so many stories, and these aren't fables. These are real-life observations, stories of life during the Depression. And although I wasn't alive at that time, I have so many hours, hundreds of hours of stories that I heard from my grandparents telling me just what it was like. And I understood at a very young age why our basement was full of canned vegetables that we grew all summer long. It was not a meal that went by where we didn't have something fresh out of our garden summer and winter. It could be 2 feet of snow outside, and we were eating fresh out of the garden. And, you know, today, you do that, and you're labeled as an extremist, for crying out loud. Well, you don't have to really do much of anything to be labeled an extremist anymore. It's coming, man. Almost everything you do, they're literally trying to make it illegal for you to question government on much of anything. Look at the climate nonsense. You got these do-gooders out there saying they own the science. Well, actually, try to convince you they own the science. It is science is settled. And any scientist worth a pee hole in the snow would laugh at such a statement. Science is never settled, ever. Just when you think you know the answer to one of the riddles, it poses 10 more riddles. It never ends. And the whole premise of science is to be questioned. But that's not the culture that's taking shape around us now. Whatever they own the science, so the science they put forward, you will begin parroting the talking points of that science, or you are a troublemaker. I don't know. I'll have none of it. I'll have none of it. Being prepared is not an extreme thing. In fact, quite the opposite. I think it's extreme to think that you shouldn't be prepared. What type of new flavor of jackassery is that? I mean, come on. Do you honestly think the government loves you that much that, you know, should you not have any food in your house and things go sideways, whatever. Say you get hit. You're up in the northern area where I'm at. You get hit with an ice storm that takes you out sometimes for a week, 2 weeks. Do you think the government's going to hunt you down? You know, they know right where you are, what you're saying, what you're doing, what appliances you. They can tell you more about you than you. They know exactly where you are. But do you think they're going to use that knowledge to hustle some food and blankets out to you just because you were not prepared? Oh, hell no. In fact, they count on you not being prepared, because here's why. They've trained you so that when you run out of whatever, food, water, shelter, you run to government. And I've said this before on the show. The day you get your food from the back of a government truck, you are screwed. It is all over. Now, we've got cities right now, because of their own creation, where, and I've said this before too, stores are not going to be looted over and over and over again. And the people that run these stores aren't just going to keep ordering more food or products or whatever it is they're stealing. All right, they're going to get looted a couple times. They're going to board the place up. So now, what are some of the cities doing? This is actually being proposed here in the United States, is that they're going to have government grocery stores. Oh, man. And along with it, of course, the force required to protect the establishment. They'll not let you, the store owners, the clerks, the shoppers, you couldn't all be armed and possibly defend yourselves You know, they disarm you and then pretend that the only way to protect you is government protection with their arms. So, yeah, you're now going to have government-run grocery stores. And they will protect them, whatever they got to do, or bring the National Guard or other whatever. Yeah, they'll be the ones supplying you. You will, in effect, be getting your food off the back of a government truck. And then what? Do you think you're going to have any say over labeling, over the quality of the food? And we've already seen how the FDA is a miserable failure. They actually go after and spend a lot of their time going after nutrients to get them regulated as toxins and tested like you would a toxin so that they can limit how much you can have access to or if you can even have access to it at all. I mean, in these future government-run stores, will they just do away with consumer vitamins? Will you not be able to buy them? And just read on the label now of your can of Soylent Green that all the vitamin C that you need, they own all the vitamins now, and they're automatically putting it in your food for you. Everything that you need, you don't even have to think. You just got to open the can and eat what we give you. Oh, doesn't that sound utopian? All right, we're on our way there. The same way that we're seeing artificial scarcity is economics 101. We're going to keep going back to this because, you know, we wallow into the weeds of detail and just get turned around in circles when these things don't pass the sniff test at the very most fundamental level. But economics 101, you know, government is creating scarcity of critical things. I don't care if it's crude oil in terms of energy and our energy needs, or maybe it's nitrogen fertilizer to throttle back and control how much food goes into production. But they're creating artificial scarcity. You're seeing it in the prices. And the next time you see some Congress critter go out there, in particular the progressives, touting Bidenomics, how wonderful the inflation is as low as it's been and blah, blah, blah. Just, it's all propaganda. It's all lies. And one thing I want you to know, if you take only one thing from today's show, understand this, is that every time they post a factoid or a number relevant to inflation, you need to understand that that does not account for food and energy. Those numbers are not factored in to inflation numbers. And that is a fact. Fact check that. So tell me, when they give you, the prostitutes come out and start touting how wonderful and how low the inflation rate has been, and, you know, you're scratching your head, you know, your head's about to pop because you know you've gone to the store. To get to that store, you got to stop at a gas station once in a while and fill your tank, and you see how much that costs. And then when you get yourself to the store and you start buying food for you and your family, you see how much that costs. Get your radio, your TV, your internet, your social media, newspapers, magazines, everywhere you go, you're just flooded, sensory overload, that inflation levels are low. You're lucky little vassals. Well, tell me, is it really low? You know, should you, as a flesh and blood human being, someone trying to raise and support a family, you've got to factor those things in, don't you? Yes, you do. There are a bunch of liars and propaganda right now, America. You were already the most propagandized nation on the planet. But with all the chaos in the world, and of course the United States and its foreign policy experts make sure that our nose is stuck in it. I don't care if it's Russia, Ukraine, Palestine, Israel. These are all predictable symptoms of a flawed and aggressive foreign policy. All right, the globalist out there. You see, this is another thing about globalization, is it's not one entity. There's not just one gaggle of dirtbags that wants to control the world. Right, you got the World Economic Forum and the UN types. You've got, China. They want to rule the world in their own way. They want globalization, but they want it in the communist Chinese way. Have they made progress? Well, yes, they have. Last I checked, it was 43,000 military-age males that came in through our border, flooded through with the current border crisis. Ones that we're aware of, anyway. So I'm sure that number is more, but that was the official count that we had gotten in terms of males, military-age males from China. They have control of, I think, is 98 or 99% of many of the common antibiotics that we use here and consume in the United States. They own massive amounts of farmland here in the United States. What we should do is outlaw corporations. There is a state, I think it was one of the Dakotas, that flat out outlawed corporate ownership of property. Had to be owned by the people of the state. You know, their farms were producing the food. There's a bunch of Chinese-owned farms right next to military bases, oddly enough. And, you know, they're going to use those farms to grow food and feed their own people. But they don't have the luxury of space over there. But their idea of globalization is a little bit different. So you do have factions of lunatics out there fighting to carve up the United States. You know, the reality is we don't have to be partnered up with anybody for anything. Look at how much NATO and the UN cost us in terms of debt. All right, they're spending well beyond our GDP right now. They just hit the print button. That's it, unless they run out of ink or paper. And even that, in case they do run out of ink or paper, they're moving everything digital. Unbelievable. But they're just going to keep on, there's an unserviceable amount of debt. And I think they're all going to rob the piggy bank until the system crashes and then force you into their new system. You got to be ready to resist that. The United States does not have to be partnered up with the UN at all. I mean, Congress could get together. New York could get together and say, out. See you later. No more funds for you. And look at how much, even what we spent over in just Ukraine alone. Let's forget about the billions of dollars that we've given to the UN over the years. Let's just look at recent spending on one of their agendas here in Ukraine. You know, how many homeless people, homeless veterans, you know, what could have been done with that money right here in the United States for things that up till now have only gotten lip service? It's a shame what we're seeing. The American people have been put last. They've been put last on just about everything. It's sickening. And then foot the bill on it. These monsters that are running things, and folks, you've got to, every revolutionary change that ever happened for the people, to the benefit of the people, began with civil disobedience. So much of what we're tied into right now, the debts that are being accumulated, are due to our silent consent. You know, a foreign policy and really everything that's plaguing us right now, no matter what the hot topic is for people, you know, I can now trace it back to flawed foreign policy. That's the real deep state. Those people that you never elect out, who are in complete control of how we interact with other nations at a social level, on an economic level, energy, food, you know, the everything. You know, and what we're injecting into other nations and is getting rejected is all of this craziness with respect to gender. You know, the gender cult. This is just not setting well with a lot of people, and I can't say as I blame them. This is no place for government to be buttoning its nose in at all. Right? Parents should be raising their kids, not the state, not the TV, not the government. School districts, they become parasitic and dangerous. Parents, you got to begin saying no. Teach the young kids how to say no. I remember when my kids reached 2 years old, you know, the terrible twos, you know, they learned how to say no, but they were quickly corrected. You know, say no to mom and dad, you listen. So they had discipline. But when they grew up, there was a healthy amount of skepticism, and they started to say no. So that's where we're at. We're at a point in time now, folks, where our further silent consent is going to cinch it for us. The choices that we have are dwindling daily. And it's going to get to the point where government says, oh, we're facing a horrible collapse. And we've all got to come together now. And what are they going to come together under? What banner are they going to come together under? Well, the governments. You're not going to be able to say no. And if you do, if you say, you know what, I think that's a bad idea, Senator so-and-so, you are going to be immediately labeled as a terrorist. If you're not with us and you're against America, right? Well, no. No. But you better start saying, exercising civil disobedience right now. Be ungovernable. Be ungovernable. So we're going to talk, we're going to go into, you know, dive into some of this mess in Israel and what's going on there and in Palestine. And what a contentious thing, man. This is one of those topics that people get really, you know, they seem to have already solidified an opinion one way or the other, irregardless of facts that exist out there. And the facts that exist, sadly, are shaky. You know, it's slathered in propaganda. It's slathered in foreign policy. You know, and as usual, you really got to go right to the people themselves. Right? The press is not reliable. They're not going to tell you the totality of what's going on. Look at what we heard about the 40 decapitated babies. This was all fear-mongering. Early on, everyone was emotional right after the fact. Almost anything they put out there was taken to heart. And it all turned out to be a bunch of hogwash. You know, you do not trust much of anything that the mainstream media puts out about any of these conflicts. At best, you're getting half the truth. And usually that half is tainted too. So don't believe them. Do your own homework and research on this. Reach out to individuals the same way the independent press has been exceedingly more accurate and timely in the information that comes out, even though they're highly censored. The fact that the independents are putting it out means that the people you want to be talking to are the people in these nations. Because I refuse to believe that all Jewish people hold the same values as the Zionist ruling elite do over there. And I refuse to believe that all of the Palestinian people think and feel the same way Hamas does. I don't think all the Ukrainian people are bad. I don't think all the Russian people are bad. But when you talk to them, going back to some of my earlier comments, is they really just want to live their lives. Most people, the average Joe, the blue collar, cog in their economic machine. All right, the family, the families, the business owners, they're not really hopped up on politics anywhere. And don't get me wrong, you can bump into radicalized people in every nation who are absorbed in that stuff too. But far and away, the majority of the population doesn't care about that stuff. They really just want to be left alone, work, raise their families. Why isn't that something that translates through the systems of government to those that are the rulers in some nations, or public servants as we're supposed to have? It never flows that way. My senator here in Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, let me be clear. And then she tells us what we think, what we feel, that the best thing for our economy is to absorb all this student debt, for example. Yeah, that's right. We'll just wipe out all the student loan debt. What a horrible lesson to a young person. Because, you can go out, you can evaluate a situation, make a calculated risk, invest in yourself, take out a loan, then work hard, pay that loan back, and then establish a career, and then to just say, psych, I don't want to pay it back now. What a horrible thing to teach a young person going out into the work world. You can default on your loans just because things are tough, or maybe because you made a really crappy decision. We warned y'all that these gender studies degrees were not going to get you far in life. So if you got a bunch of student loan debt, and I don't care if you graduated or didn't, you own that debt. But our senators won't say that. We'll say, well, America wants this and America wants that. The people in my district want to absorb all these defaulted loans. Well, no, they don't. No, they don't. They're just being told. It's because we've now got stakeholders speaking for us, those that speak on our behalf. And when those stakeholders become your senators, not just the nonprofit stakeholders, some of your elected officials have assumed to be your stakeholder, where the flow of information is backwards. We've got a break coming up. This is Red Pill Politics. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we'll be right back.
Is it conspiracy? Do shadow hands run democracy? The edges speak of a lie. Shrouded in secrets and mysteries, bloodlines of history, they sit at the top, counting all the gold they have robbed common men. They put their puppets into place, then pull the strings. Simple whisper, sleight of hand, twisted. Is it too much?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pauti Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. Sunday, October 15th already, halfway through the month. And I hope y'all are doing well. Hope you had a great week. Please do point your browsers over to republicbroadcasting.org. Support the station. Check out the other programmers. 7 days a week, there's content there for you to get your mind around and share around with your friends and the Patriot community. All right, lots of great stuff there. Find something you like. Give us a thumbs up. Hit that donation button. We're 100% listener funded here. So you're hearing me right now because of you. Okay, any little bit that you can donate, if you can make a big donation, super. If you can't, you know, even $5 a month, you know, the cost of a Big Mac a month goes a long way. When you spread that across our listenership, that really helps get things done. And, of course, anything that doesn't grow dies. I am personally not satisfied with the RBN footprint. We've got to get out there. All right. And that means that there's more distribution points when you help us out. So please do hit that donation button if you would. And, of course, stay plugged into Red Pill Politics. You can do that by going to redpillpolitics.tv, getting on the old mailing list. We send out a live stream of all of our regular broadcasts. So there's two ways that you can hang out in the chat with some other patriots. The new stream is located on our Rumble channel. All right, YouTube don't like us very much. Facebook don't like us very much. So our new home is on Rumble. Look up Red Pill Politics there. And you can also find a direct link from our website, redpillpolitics.tv. And check out the chat, get involved, post links and resources. We want the videos to travel as a resource together. And also, there is a chat channel that's being maintained by volunteers here at the station at redpillpolitics.chattango.com. Feel free to stop in, say howdy do, and, you know, share the love. All right, we make it easy to listen. If you go to republicbroadcasting.org, there's a one-click player on every page of the site, so even progressives can listen. All right, they may not like what they hear, but even they can listen. All right, let's move on. Phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. If you're listening live, that is the call-in number. And I got a couple of questions. All right, I was hoping the callers would share. Well, you can talk about whatever you want, bring up whatever you like. But number one, do you think there's going to be a 2024 election? What do you think the chances are? What are the odds, you know, from, you know, 0 to 100%? What do you think the odds are that the election will be postponed or canceled? And the other is preparedness. I really want to get and keep you in the frame of mind where you're thinking about preparedness. And I'd like you to call in and share some of the things that you've done to be prepared, no matter how big or how small, it doesn't matter. You never really are done. That's the truth of the matter, is when you sit back and look at what you have, there's always something else that you could use that you like to have in the event of emergency. But big or small, share with us what you've done to be prepared, at least to get you through this winter. Do you have enough food in your home or that you have access to get you through the winter? Could you keep from freezing to death? Those in the southern zones don't go and have to worry about that. But up here in the temperate zone in the northern tier, you know, that's a real thing. Old people, and this is, in fact, one of the early tests when they were testing smart meters, and we're going back years now. One of the areas that was a test for this included the home of a retired disabled veteran, someone who really couldn't get around, needed extra help and whatnot. But these meters would automatically shut your power off if you failed to pay your bill. Well, this guy failed to pay the bill and shut off his power in the middle of the winter, and they found him froze to death in his Lazy Boy. He was dead. So, yeah, what are you going to do if the power goes out? big difference. You know, we those that talk preparedness are often people in the country who have, you know, have more abilities and wherewithal sometimes to prepare because they have the luxury of more space and being in the country. But what about urban prepping? People who are inside of the cities, do you have what it takes? All right, you still need the basics, food, water, shelter. You know, but some of those other things might be different. You know, how are you going to be prepared? What have you done? That's the long and short of it. I like to know what you've done to be prepared, no matter how big or how small. And secondly, do you think we're going to have an election? Because I've got my doubts. The Democrats, who have been taken over by progressives, which are basically communists, calling themselves progressives, have hijacked that entire party. Now, those of us that want to have an educated, real-life, you know, reality discussion about politics, we understand and acknowledge that. Even if the majority of Democrats, and I'm doing my little bunny ears here, even if they don't, for whatever reason, whether they're just oblivious to it or simple denial and too painful to admit, I don't know. But their entire party apparatus has been co-opted. And they're not at all sympathetic to the Constitution, to individual anything, let alone individual rights. They're about the collective, collectivism, socialism, communism. So they've got two people up there who, in my estimation, and again, I'm not going by anything Trump said, I'm going by the contents of public records requests that I sent to town clerks throughout my state, requesting voter lists, reviewing those voter lists, I came to the conclusion that there is a serious problem with election integrity, at least in Massachusetts, but I think throughout the entire country. So, why? Why is that? How is it that somebody who cannot tie his shoe, can't get on and off the stage, can't put together a coherent sentence, got elected to be president of the United States by the largest margin ever, even over Obama? Now, as much as I loathe Barack Obama, he was a talented orator. He knew how to talk, and he knew how to, you know, engage an audience. That's not Biden. There's nothing that man has done that would support the notion of securing the highest number of votes that any president has ever gotten. It's just a load of crap is what that is. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at a system that can prop up such a person and get away with it. They stole that election, in my estimation, according to the observations of a lot of people, actually. So, you know, do we have a democracy that, you know, this is a republic, but, you know, democracy, the tool, is that intact? Do we have that? Because you need two things for democracy to work. And that's a fully informed public and election integrity. Do we have that in the United States any longer? I submit to you that we don't. I honestly do not believe that exists at the present time. And we could be very easily looking at could we get another term of Biden and Harris? And let's not forget Harris. She she wound up not even making it through the primary. She bowed out in barely in the single digits. You know, is she going to be our vice president, or God forbid, our president? It could be with a broken system like that. That's very possible. But here's the other thing about rigged elections, and it's worked brilliantly up till recently, is it's way easier to pull that off when there's low voter turnout. So yes, all those people who are disenfranchised, angry at the system for all the right reasons, but withdrew and stopped voting, all right, the rigging got worse because of you disengaging. What happens every single time is when there's this swell of people that show up at the polls, sometimes against their estimations, and that many people show up, and there's a flood of voting, a flood of eyeballs on things, people saying, hey, wait a minute, I didn't already vote. Because that's what happened last time. A lot of people that were registered to vote that did not vote, not in the national, not in the local, that really just disengaged, all of a sudden showed up and voted. I think it was Minnesota. It was 42,000 people that supposedly voted twice. And that explains it, too, is those people that normally didn't vote had their votes harvested and mailed in. And when they showed up at the polls on election day to vote, they were told they already voted. And what happened? They wound up with their vote going in an envelope in a pile of provisional ballots. Yeah, right. I'm telling you, folks. We're in some trouble. I'm not sure that there's even going to be one. Because I think a lot of people are going to show up, for one, that are going to vote like they've never voted before. And they have nothing. The Democrats have nothing but anger and hatred and false prophets. And the embarrassment of Biden and Harris is too much for them to overcome. And they've got nothing else. Are they going to put Big Mike up? You know, what small little demographic, what minority of America is going to be the obnoxious, violent minority? But what minority of people would be attracted to a candidate like that? Good Lord, I don't know. All right, I'm going to get some calls coming in. Let's see if we can get some of those right now. Art from Georgia. How are you this morning, Art?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, considering. What do you think? You think we're going to have a 2024 election, or what are the odds you think that gets canceled or postponed?
Well, I think a lot of that depends on what happens with Israel and Ukraine, because as I mentioned on the previous broadcast with Alan and Steve, that it looks like, you know, with this war in Europe and this war in the Middle East, it looks like they're gearing up and setting the stage for World War III. And if that happens, there might be a little bit of upheaval here in the United States. And if it gets too bad, they might even put the elections off, or claim we're going to postpone the elections until we get through this mess, in which case, if they do that, we're toast. It's game over at that point. But anyway, you asked about prepping. What have people done to prepare? And I know people in the city are not able to do this, which is kind of sad. But I get people, you know, that live in the city, that especially those that live in the live in apartments, don't have the ability to stockpile large amounts of food, and they most certainly. Not the best they could do with a garden would be container gardening on their balcony if they have one. But people that live in the city that own homes in the city, they would have plenty of room in their homes, hopefully, to stockpile at least some food, and might even have a yard which they could do a garden. Fortunately, I live out in the country, and I've got 1.13 acre. That's all I've got. I know it's not a whole lot, but I'm one man, and 1.13 acre is plenty enough for one person to grow enough food for them. But over the years, and traveling around the country, I lived out of a U-Haul truck for the most part. That's how I was able to transport all my supplies and stuff. But now that I'm situated, I've been able to actually stock up even more. And I've got, in dry bulk goods, I've got 45-gallon buckets full of things like beans, rice, pasta, cornmeal, flour, sugar, salt, spices, coffee, tea, all of the essentials. And then I've got, and that's enough to get me through about a year right there if that's all I ate. But then I've got about a year's worth of canned goods, which I rotate. You got to rotate, folks. Always rotate your supplies so you're using up your oldest first. And I've probably got a year's worth of canned goods. So there's 2 years' worth of food right there, plus what I grow outside in the garden and what grows wild. I'm probably, and hunting and trapping and fishing, I'm probably never going to have to worry about food for the rest of my life, which is fortunate. And I just really wish there were more people could do this. But I tell people, if you live in the country and you own a little piece of land, you own it, it's yours, there's no reason why you should not have a stockpile, a healthy stockpile.
Yeah, I mean, you can still go out and like I mentioned, I think last week, is start a little buyer's club with, if you are in an urban area, other people in your building. It doesn't mean you can't go to the outskirts and hit these farmers markets and strike deals with them. And, canned food, you're right. They don't have the space to grow it. But, boy, take advantage of being able to can this stuff and put that up where you can. What are some other ideas for the urban preppers? Because they're a different crowd.
Well, for urban preppers, harvesting wild edibles is a bad idea because you're surrounded by asphalt and concrete and smog and all this other stuff that pollutes your food. And I always tell people, if you're going to harvest wild foods, wild edibles, never harvest anything closer than 50 yards or 50 feet of the road, because it's just water rush off and all that is just going to pollute everything. So you want to get about 50 yards off the road before you start to harvest. But people in urban areas, I really do, other than farmers markets and working, like you said, working together with other people in your area, I don't really see that they have many options other than that. I mean, because you're in an urban area, you can't really garden. And if you garden, when all hell breaks loose and the SHTF, everybody's going to be raiding your garden, so that's just not going to work.
Well, that's true. Well, even as you get, in the countryside a little bit more, especially those that are not way out in the country, you can have all these things. You can have a nice garden and nice things, but you've got to be able to defend it at the same time. But in an urban setting, a lot of, the fundamentals about communication. For example, do you have little pods of friends and allies mixed throughout the community, throughout the city, where, you're the eyes and ears of each other? You check in what's going on in the streets below. That in itself is a big help, to know what's going on around you.
Right. And I actually know people that live in rural areas. They're still kind of close to the city limits, but they're still rural. They're kind of like out in the country. I know people that have incredibly large stockpiles of food and supplies. And what they've done, and this is another really good idea, if you live in a rural area and you are able to do a big stockpile, you work with your neighbors and make it understood, I have the food, I have the supplies, I have what we need, if you will supply the defense and protection. And you'd be amazed at how many people will step up and say, hey, for the ability to eat and feed my family, sure, I'll lend my gun to you. No problem.
Yep.
So yeah, that's exactly another thing to think about.
Yeah, everyone's got a skill. And that's some of the strongest teams, where you have someone like that that may have the ability to provide defensive tools, others that are just good mechanics, electricians. Yep. Food preservation, a lot of everyone's going to come to the table with something, though, and that does make your community stronger. And that's something I began doing, because although right now I'm broadcasting to you from the middle of the woods, if it wasn't for Starlink and and some power, you know, I'm surrounded by, you know, just square miles of woods. When I go back to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, my wife and I got a place right there in the city. All right. And it, things are entirely different there. And what I've been doing is, you know, began that networking with my neighbors a long time ago, find out who's friend and who's foe, and just encouraging them to be ready, because they're going to be among the first ones to crawl through our window. It ain't going to be a blue UN helmet. It's going to be our neighbors who have a starving or dying child at home, hoping that there's either food or medication in your house that could save them. So getting them in the frame of mind, you know, buy, you know, get extra prescription drugs if you need them, have extra food around. And it's working. It's starting to work.
Well, here's what I tell people, and I'll leave you with this, because I'm really hoping other people are calling in and sharing thoughts and ideas. But my final comment would be, remember these three points. After one day without food, your neighbor is going to be willing to beg from you. After 3 days without food, your neighbor is going to be willing to steal from you. And after a week without food, your neighbor will be willing to kill you. Keep that in mind. This is human nature. You cannot avoid or escape human nature. It is impossible to do. This is just the nature of the man. Anyway, thanks, brother. You keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks for the call. It's Art from Georgia. We're going to take a break right now. This is Red Pill Politics, and you are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.